The Kingdom of Ai, Chapter 12, City of Seekers. These are the ones and the generation that will seek him and his kingdom. Psalm 24, 6b. "Is that it?" asked Thomas excitedly as he craned his neck to get a better look. "Have we really made it to the City of Seekers?" "Let us walk down the hill and find the city gates, and that will answer your question for certain," Timothy said. "Do you think they'll let us in since it's after dark?" Mary asked. Stephen smiled. "Somehow I feel quite certain they will not turn us away no matter what time we arrive." Mr. Rich interjected. "Of course not. Don't you remember the words from the King's book that Timothy quoted to me when I first inquired about joining you on this journey? I'll never turn away the one who comes to me. Those words have encouraged me during this entire excursion." As they drew near to the gate of the city, a large signboard confirmed that they had arrived at their long sought after destination. Though it was dark, the glow of torches positioned on the city walls illumined the sign so it could be read easily. "Welcome to the City of Seekers. These are the ones and the generation that will seek him and his kingdom." As the group approached the gates, they swung open. The seekers looked at one another in surprise, but continued to walk forward. As they entered through the gates, Stephen was immediately struck by the distinct change in the atmosphere. A sudden and unexpected sensation of hopefulness engulfed him like a cloud. It was so keenly different from the environment outside the gates that he stood flabbergasted, simply trying to fathom what he was experiencing. Andrew the Encourager was standing inside the city walls and warmly greeted the newcomers. "Welcome to the City of Seekers. The King has promised in his book of books that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Stephen smiled with relief as he recognized the man who had encouraged them along the way. "Thank you, Andrew. We are so happy to see you here." He motioned toward the group and said, "You know why we have come. We are seeking the truth about ourselves and about the kingdom of Ai, in which we've lived for so long. And most of all, we're hoping to be told how we can meet the King and how to travel to his kingdom of I Am." Andrew replied, "Do you want to know who may climb the mountain of the Lord and who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the King's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior." "We want that," Stephen answered. "Please tell us, how can we get there?" "It is important that you rest a while, as you will need to regain your strength through the continuation of your journey," said Andrew. "Then I promise I will give you further instructions. You will first have to travel to the City of Grace and become citizens there." "But we want to go straight to the Kingdom of I Am, not to another city here in this wicked Kingdom of I," Thomas exclaimed. Several of the others joined him with a chorus of protestations, saying, "Yes, that's right." Andrew looked at the seekers with the patience of a wise father who knows his children have need of understanding. "It is grace that you need," he answered, "and it must be found while you are still living in the Kingdom of I. Once you possess all that the City of Grace has to offer, you will begin the final phase of your journey to the Kingdom of I Am. No one is allowed to enter the Kingdom of I Am without first becoming a citizen of the City of Grace. But now, come and rest. You are all fatigued from your travels," the Encourager said. The group of exhausted travelers nodded in agreement. Andrew called for two attendants whose names were Rest and Refreshment. They took the seekers to a sparkling pool, which was fed by a crystal clear waterfall. There they washed off the dust of their journey. A full moon shone brightly on the water, and the torches which lined the walkway and the pool cast a gentle glow which illuminated the area. The cool waters began to revive them. Silver trays bearing delicious fruits were brought to them, and as they ate, their strength slowly returned. Refreshment stood up to speak. Now you must take your rest. A place has been prepared for each of you. Each seeker was escorted to a lovely private cottage, which had a door plaque bearing his name, to rest for the night. As Stephen followed Rest to the place assigned to him, he turned to her in amazement. "How did you know I was coming today, so that you placed my name on this guest room door?" Rest smiled and answered sweetly, "The king is the one who drew you here, and he has been expecting you. He prepared this place of rest just for you, for he knows how far you have come, as well as the challenges of the journey ahead of you, and he always gives rest to his beloved ones." The next morning, the seekers were led to a magnificent garden where a gorgeous banquet table wreathed with fresh flowers and laden with delectable food and exotic juices awaited them. It was the first of several delightful days they would spend in the city of Seekers, resting and preparing themselves for the continuation of their journey. Andrew, the encourager, joined them for breakfast. As they ate together, he began to answer their many questions and to counsel them about their travel to the City of Grace. "Be very wise regarding whom you allow as your companions on this next part of your journey," Andrew exhorted them. "There will be times when some will want to join you, but you will find that they are not of the same spirit. If you are not prudent enough to refuse their companionship, they will eventually influence you to head away from the City of Grace. Some will be rebellious souls who want to go their own way, and some will be wolves in sheep's clothing sent to deceive you. Do not go with them, no matter how pleasant their companionship seems to be. Always remember that there is no path to the king except the one that goes through the City of Grace, where the king's son died. It is vital that you keep in mind the words written in the king's book: bad company corrupts good character, and, most importantly, be disciplined and stay on guard. Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around outside like a roaring lion, just waiting and hoping for the chance to devour someone. Stephen noticed that Blake had a smirk on his face as he listened to Andrew. He wondered if he doubted what Andrew was telling them. He was not surprised when Blake began to question Andrew. "We all started on this journey to go to the kingdom of I Am because in our dreams the king invited us there. I do not understand what all this talk about the City of Grace even means. It seems like an unnecessary step. Why can't we just head straight to the king's city and be done with it?" Blake asked. Mr. Rich leaned forward at the table and interjected before Andrew could answer, "I would like to know the answer to that question as well." Andrew answered with a gravity in his tone that made Stephen sit straight up as he listened. "In the king's book it is written, 'He who does not enter by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber.' These are the words of Yeshua, the king's son. He also said about himself, 'I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.' That is why you must go through the City of Grace, become citizens there, and then you will be told how to continue your journey to the kingdom of I Am. When you arrive there, the fullness of grace will be explained to you. Then you can choose for yourself if you will embrace the gift of the king's grace or reject it. For it is written, 'For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.' The king offers grace freely, and it is the currency of his kingdom. But without it, there is no entrance into his kingdom of love." "On that note," Mr. Rich said in a businesslike tone, "I am ready to proceed to the City of Grace. If grace is the king's currency, I will be happy to partake of it." "I still don't understand the point of not going directly to the kingdom of I Am," Blake grumbled, "but let's get on with it." Andrew did not respond to Blake's comment, but instead began to explain some things about the kingdom of I to the group of seekers. "It is vital that you understand the true nature of the kingdom of Ai so that you will be able to resist the temptation to remain as its citizens. So I have a question for you. If you bite into a beautiful piece of fruit, but find at its core that it is rotten, what would you do with that piece of fruit? I would spit it out and throw it into the garbage pile, Ben answered. Yes, of course, you would not want any of that rottenness entering your body. The kingdom of Ai, at its core, is quite corrupt, though it may have an attractive appearance in certain places, like the city of respectability, offered Stephen, and the city of wealth and luxury, added Mr. Rich. Precisely, Andrew continued. Well, there is nothing attractive or desirable about the city of trepidation where we were raised. We always knew we wanted out of that horrible place, Ray interjected. That is true, Ray, but the people in trepidation just wanted to find what they thought was a better place in the kingdom of Ai. They did not realize that any city they moved to in the kingdom of Ai was rotten at the core. It is a deception to think that one can live happily ever after in the kingdom of Ai. And there is a fierce, unseen spiritual battle to keep people captive and to deceive them into thinking it is desirable to remain here. Don't you remember when you were in the city of Flattery and the citizens there tried to convince you to settle down in their city and discontinue your journey to the city of Seekers? Ray cringed. Yes, I remember. And it almost worked, Mary said. Andrew continued, the pressure to remain in the kingdom of Ai will only increase as you head toward the city of grace. You must be on guard against the temptations that will be presented as you travel there. They will seem so reasonable to your minds and appear very desirable, but resist them at all cost because they are traps intended to prevent you from finding the king's great city. The group was somber as they listened to Andrew's warnings. No one ventured another word. Andrew stood up. You will rest here for another day and night to allow you to fully regain your strength. Then you must depart early in the morning to begin your journey to the city of grace.